We all get 24 hours a day, right? We have to choose how we're going to spend that time. It's a privilege that we can say yes and we can say no. For many people, it's hard to say no because we're often thinking through that relational side, but we need to be able to balance our time and what choices we make in that. So the other part about the stewardship is each one of us was created totally different, uniquely by God. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And what we do with those is going to look different than everybody else.
Welcome to the Generosity Now podcast, where we bring you inspiring stories of generosity and whole life stewardship. Our goal is to showcase individuals and organizations making a positive impact in our communities and across the world. I'm your host, Eric Most, president of the National Christian Foundation, Rocky Mountain Region, and I'm joined by my incredible co-host, Lori Bossert, VP on our team. Well, today we're continuing this mini series on providing like an overview of a primer on some common topics here on the Generosity Now podcast. And so today we're planning to look at the topic around whole life stewardship. Many of you know that I used to own an insurance agency, and no, we are not talking about any life insurance products here at all. We're talking about the stewardship of our lives. And this is actually an acronym that I've taken from a friend of ours at NCF, a gentleman named Pete Oakes, who we're actually scheduled to have on the podcast here soon. So we'll have him riff on this a little bit more. But he introduced us to this acronym of LIFE. And it's something that I've just entwined into like my life. It's something good to think about. And we talk often about it. And so by that, this acronym, we mean our life, our labor, our influence, our finances, and our expertise. In a lot of ways, I see that we here in the global West, we often are most faithful as it relates to our stewardship of our finances, and then maybe our labor secondarily. But generally speaking, we really don't lean in as often with our influence and our expertise. And I think that those are really important things for us to consider and to talk about. So also, when we even talk about like the, you know, we do the best as it relates to our finances. It's funny, I was looking at a couple different reports, and one report actually said that the median for church giving is 0.57%. Yes, that's just over one half of 1%. And it says that while in total giving, so not just to the church, is like 0.1% or 0.1%. Another report that was conflicting but still not overly encouraging that was done by ECFA, the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability, surveyed over 16,000 evangelical donors. And in that, they said that the median percentage of income given by evangelicals was reported to be around 4 or 5%. And so while I say that I think that we do the best as it relates to the stewardship of our finances and our generosity as it relates to our finances, we have a lot of ways to grow there, but there's also ways that we can grow in stewardship of our entire life. And so that's what we want to talk about a little bit today and share with you. And Lori, I want to hear your thoughts as well. You were doing some research, and as we talk about this, we think a lot of this, but you came across an article that really encapsulated a lot of the things that we feel and we say. And so how about you share a little bit about that today? And what was that? Tell us a little bit about the article as well.
I found an article called Whole Life Stewardship, The Call to Greatness. And this call to whole life stewardship has to do with every choice that we make as people. We all make choices every day by how we spend our time, what meetings we actually put on our calendars, who we will meet with, who we won't meet with, how we'll spend our exercise time or our Bible study time. All of these things are our whole life and how we steward these pieces. And stewardship is actually a mandate and a privilege. We all get 24 hours a day, right? We have to choose how we're going to spend that time. It's a privilege that we can say yes and we can say no. For many people, it's hard to say no because we're often thinking through that relational side, but we need to be able to balance our time and what choices we make in that. So the other part about the stewardship is each one of us was created totally different, uniquely by God. We all have different gifts. We all have different talents. And what we do with those is going to look different than everybody else. How we steward those gifts can be different. You know, I know great musicians that have made a choice to not be a professional musician, but to be a worship leader. That's a choice of their stewarding their gifts. They're still using their gifts. It may not be for their professional way that they make money. And there's those choices each one of us is faced with every day. So the other part of that, creating ourselves with different gifts, that's where it can be that some of us are going to be the CEOs of organizations. Others of us are going to be the facility people who help us have the air conditioning and make us really comfortable. God is pleased with each one of us focusing on being who He's asked us to be. And it's not about zeros. It's not about paychecks. It's about dignity and the opportunity to serve God with our whole life.
Laura, I really appreciate you pointing out that stewardship is a mandate and a privilege. I think that's absolutely true. It is a privilege to be able to steward our lives in a way that glorifies God. 1 Corinthians 10:31 is truly one of my life-shaping verses. It's, you know, people talk about they have a life verse. I would say that this is kind of encapsulates mine. And 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, "Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." It is a mandate. Whatever you do, do. But it's also a privilege. We have the privilege of doing all for the glory of God. And by no means do I live up to that, right? That, you know, I sin often as it relates to even the stewardship of my life. And yet that is my ambition, my desire, and my posture. And I think that's what we're encouraging. I really appreciate your call out of saying that, you know, there God has called us uniquely. I think about Paul talking about the body of Christ and how some of the body is our eyes and some of them are hearts and some of them are toes. Well, if you ever lost a toe because of frostbite or something like that, you realize that a big toe is a really important thing, though it's not something that we generally give like a high preference to. And so like how God has wired the church is he's wired us all uniquely and we are all needed and we are all knit together. And that's a beautiful thing. And so love those things that you've pointed out as well.
You brought up the whatever you do, work for the Lord. And that should also give us the freedom that we're not just in ministry if we're working for a Christian organization or our church. We are in ministry, whatever job God calls us to. We are working with other employees. We're working with vendors. We're working with the constituents that we serve. We're working with the beneficiaries, whatever the people are. Every day in that life, we can steward how we interact with them, what we do for them. All of that can be for the Lord. It is even more important sometimes as we're working in maybe corporate America to be the different one so people see our life different, that we're stewarding our faith in that place to show them love where they may not get love in other parts of their day. What an opportunity we have each day as we go to work to be able to focus on other people and being able to share the love of Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I love that we live in this day where I believe that there is clear teaching and faithful teaching that explains that there is not this sacred and secular divide, that you are a better Christian if you work for a Christian nonprofit or if you're a church and you're less of a Christian. I think about people like David Green with Hobby Lobby talks about that he was the only boy in the family who did not go into full-time ministry and how he actually felt like a second or third rate Christian because of that. And yet he really felt called to business and to be a faithful business owner and leader. And so, and through the fruit of that, we all know, I mean, like he's given away like hundreds of millions of dollars because of that. The Museum of the Bible would not exist if it was not for the Green family. Even Supreme Court mandates as it relates to abortifications and things like that, like they literally took that to the Supreme Court. And so they are faithful, and I think they are by no means a second-rate Christian. Christian in the slightest because they went the path of business. Actually, we need more faithful believers that will be faithful in business, will be faithful in the working world, will be faithful school teachers, will be faithful politicians, and so necessary. So I'm grateful that we live in a day that we don't have this like divide and it's looked down less as, oh, you're not in full-time ministry. No, Mike Shero with C12 started this greater purpose workshop that I was a part of, that we were a part of, Lori. And he started off by even asking everybody, like, hey, raise your hand if you're in full-time ministry. And it's one of those things, like, everybody should be raising their hand. If they are a believer, they are in full-time ministry. It just might not be for a vocational nonprofit type of reality.
Right. And each one of us can be praying as we're walking the halls of our schools, of our government buildings, of our employers, everything. We have that inside of us every day and every opportunity to be able to do that and to love on other people.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we go back and I want to riff a little bit more on that acronym of life, though, too, to help us think about our shaping. What do we mean? And we talk about that. So we talked a little bit, just I kind of teased out some of the finances side of things. And we talked about our labor. I think I said that's like the second most utilized aspect of that acronym. I think that we do, right? Like we do look for opportunities as a people to help, to volunteer with our church and other places like that. But and that's something that we should be actively looking at doing. Our neighborhoods and the cities that we live in, where God has placed us, they should be better because we are here and because we are working in them. I've brought this up before, and I'll continue to bring it up on the podcast because I need to keep hearing it, and I think we all might need to hear this more. My pastor, who also says that we should live a life such that it demands an explanation. That it demands an explanation from the lost world around us. And as we were evaluating churches that we actually wanted to be a part of, one of the things that we were even asking, a church that we kind of had come from at one point, and we ask of our church today, and we ask of our own lives, was, you know, if we moved out of this community, if our church moved the church building to a new place, would neighbors around the church be upset? And I ask the same question to myself, like, will my neighbors be upset if I move away from this neighborhood? And if the answer to the church is no, or they'd be excited for you to leave, there's probably a problem there. And same for me in my own life and our family's life. If our neighbors think like, no, like we're glad they're gone. Like that's not good, right? That's not living in such a way, right? It's not using our labor, our influence, our expertise to better our communities. And so that's what we want to encourage. So we think through this whole life stewardship. We also talk about expertise. You know, God has uniquely wired each of us. You pointed that out on the front end of this, Lori. God has uniquely wired us with past experiences, and so He's calling us to do that. I think about the Titus model in the book of Titus, where there's a call for elders to be pouring into the younger generations, right? Like God has wired us. We should be doing that. We should be actively doing that, not just in discipleship-oriented opportunities, but maybe you've had a career for 30, 40, 50 years with an organization, and you're feeling that it's a time for to make a transition. I personally don't believe that there's something truly as retirement that we so often are pursuing as the American dream. I think there doesn't mean that we have to keep doing the same thing. We might not even have to continue to be paid for the work that we're doing. But God has, man, he's blessed each of us as we've worked, and we think about a life career, 30, 40 years of experience or 20 years of experience, there are people that are just starting off that need to hear that same information.
I once heard that it's in our 60s and our 70s that we can actually be the most influential. I need to hear that so that I also desire to talk to people in their 60s and 70s and get their perspective. I think of those as the years of wisdom. Mm. They have lived a lot of life. I'm always looking for people that are older than me to teach me in that space as you talk to the elders. That's that older people to speak in. How do I do this? How do I make this decision? bringing those people into our lives and having those conversations also is part of just the community living that we want to do. And that humility of, I don't know the answers sometimes. I hope when I'm in my 60s and 70s, I will have some of that wisdom to be able to share with others.
Absolutely. Well, you're already doing a great job of sharing that wisdom with us here on the podcast and the work that you're doing. And you're taking those past experiences and are laying it out in front of you. You and Mike actually have two new interns that are staying with you over the summer, and the opportunity to kind of even pour into them some of those life experiences. And some of them, they might need some real shaping. And so this could be a really fruitful time.
In fact, last night we were talking about the kids that they're trying to work with and how do they remember their names? You know, when we were just talking, and isn't that something that we just all want, is somebody to know our names and how important that is. So we were talking, how do they figure out today how to be able to show those kids that they love them? They only have them for a week, but can they know their names today? And we were talking all these different ideas of how do they actually figure out how to memorize them all.
That's good. That's good. I might need to get some lessons on that on the side, because with our trail life troop that we're a part of, I still struggle with some of the kids' names, and I don't want that. I want to be able to know our kids and call them by name. And so I'm going to have to get some tips from you on that one later. We'll do a separate bonus podcast on that at one point with you and Mike. You know, that other piece that we haven't, I don't think, really hit on yet, on that acronym at least, is our influence. And I think that there is, God has wired me in such a way that I'm a networker. I love to connect with people. I love to connect people with each other. I don't do it for the sake of business deals or things like that, but it's like, man, you love Jesus and you go both have a passion as it relates to this subject. Like, you guys should get together and talk about it. Like, go have fun. And that's at least a way that he's wired me. And I love kind of doing that. That being said, there are times where we can get burned. There's somebody that we've referred that's had a major a moral fall or has taken somebody advantage. And so I think that when we see that, as we've lived life, right, we talk about that expertise, sometimes we might start getting more scarce and say, hey, I don't know this full person's, you know, their whole biography. I don't know if I want to really use this influence that I have to connect these people. And I want to go back to the call of, like, this is the Generosity Now podcast, right? Like, there's, we should be generous with the networks that God has placed us in. He's placed them here for a reason, placed us here for a reason. And we should do that, realizing that we do want to be mindful of who we're connecting and how. And if there's clear evidence that somebody's not trustworthy, that we not necessarily connect that person, but not be scared away. I think about, you know, we talk about generosity from an abundance mindset, and a lack of generosity usually comes from a scarcity mindset. And so it would be easy to retract when we've seen hard things. But yeah, I think God is calling us to still lean in, to still be generous, to still make connections, to use the influence we have for the sake of others. That could be a position of authority where you're then speaking for somebody who's on the bottom rung, you know, of an organization. It might not be advantageous for you to speak up for that person on the bottom, but yet I think that that's actually showing true stewardship of our lives when we do speak up and help for the marginalized and things like that.
Our influence sometimes is not even places that we know that we're influencing. And sometimes we need to go to those places that are even not noticed, that we even recognize, and realize that people are watching us each day. We are influencing the people around us each day by the choices in life that we make. And I was just, that's the place where we sometimes forget that we're actually influencing. We influence our kids most by the actions we choose. It's not by the words we teach them. That goes to the next level of our kids' friends, our coworkers. It's our actions that speak the loudest. And I think our influence can be sometimes the greatest in that place of action. Yeah. And intentionality, I guess, is the other word I would put there.
Yeah, and we want to be careful to also make sure, like, we this is, we also are living in a day that's like the influencer, like, generation. And, you know, there are youth today that are raising up and they are seeking to be an influencer. They're seeking to be a YouTube influencer. They're seeking to be a Instagram influencer. And that's not what we're talking about. I actually think that many of those situations is actually you looking for more fame. And that's not what we're trying to use and trying to encourage in the slightest. But it is interesting that in a day that we see many young folks really driving to try to be those influencers, I think the other side of that coin can make others who do actually have influence kind of retreat back to not be known or seen in that way. And so just cautionary things to think through for sure.
That was very helpful.
Good. Well, this has been a fun conversation. This was not looking to be a super long one. We do, we will continue to talk and tease out more ideas of whole life stewardship. And so, but it's been a lot of fun. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for digging into that article. We will actually make a link available in our show notes to this article and feel free to read it. And we'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well. So feel free to dialogue back with us. And so, and with that, I'm going to bring us to a closing today. And so on the Generosity Now podcast, we do seek to inspire, equip, and connect our listeners for generous kingdom impact and whole life stewardship. For more information on us, please check us out online at ncfgiving.com/Rocky Mountains. You can also send us an email at info@generositynow.org. Please go ahead and subscribe to our podcast. Leave us a 5-star review and share it with your network. And we're going to close today with a doxology out of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. Thank you for your time today. It's been a joy being a part of this conversation with you.
Thanks. Have a great day, everyone.